I love the sound of breaking glass. J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro. I need the noises of destruction.
This is Bro on the Art World Beat, Breaking Glass. Today's episode, the attack on Documenta 15, Whys and Wherefores. Documenta 15, the Lumbung Documenta, curated by an Indonesian collective and the first major art festival in the West to be given over entirely to a developing world group, has been unceasingly attacked by Western critics as being anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist, and anti-Israeli. The rationale of this festival, a concerted attack on Western capitalist individual and productivist modes in art and in the world in general from various developing world collectives, is a challenge to those modes. The festival's early statement on critics characterizing it as non-art is that we refuse to be exploited by European institutional agendas that are not ours to begin with. To a lesser degree, another art institution operating a concurrent festival, the Berlin Biennale, though at points stridently critical itself of these practices, also worked as a counter to the more unbridled spirit of the Lumbung Documenta. A major part of the festival is education and the opening room of the Frederikerkanium, the main display area, is given over to an educational playground for kids where children and artists can connect. This alternative attempt at education was answered by the West by appointing a panel to conduct a scientific investigation of the site. The panel then declared the festival was rife with anti-Semitism, a charge specifically in Germany with its horrible history that is designed to be the main way most people hearing the festival will remember it. There are several points to make about this charge. The first is that no shred of anti-Semitism should ever be tolerated, especially in Germany, which not only has its genocidal past to deal with, but also a powerful far-right party, the AfD, where these sentiments may surface. In the most radical of the groups at the festival, Taring Party, the inquiry found a distorted representation of a hook-nosed figure in a mural, which the group quickly removed. When asked, by the way, where the figure came from, their answer was that they did not know who had drawn it since they were a collective and could not recall, but that there was a strong possibility that the iconography had originated with the Dutch colonizers, that is, in the West. Other instances are more problematic. The festival has been attacked for a cinematic exhibit by a Japanese group called the Tokyo Reel. Has found footage of several 1960s and 70s Palestinian films, transmitted originally to the long-since disbanded Red Army, runs in an original display where the footage is the center of a painted film strip. The films themselves are seen as one of the opening salvos of what was to become a third world film movement, a key part of the filmmaking of that period. They highlight, for example, the treatment of Palestinians in the camps in various parts of the Middle East and call Zionist practice and methods into question. The curators refuse to remove the films. An exhibit about the Algerian women in that country's struggle for independence, an unearthing of a too-long-forgotten history undertaken by the Harak People's Movement, which has attempted reform in that country, consisted prominently of two blown-up silkscreens of women in the streets, together rallying to overturn the 130-year history of French rule. There was apparently in a table off to the side one book with anti-Semitic photos, which should have simply been removed. But to find that book, a spectator would have had to search mightily and would have had to ignore the thrust of the exhibition. And in many ways, the criticism is designed to have spectators do just that, to ignore 99% of the content and focus on the 1% that should have been removed. But the critics claim the entire festival is replete with this imagery. This claim is the standard one of attempting to collapse three concepts, anti-Semitism, anti-Zionism, and any critique of the policies of the current Israeli state. The first is loathsome, should be erased, and has no place in any festival or in the world. The second, anti-Zionism, is in some way depends on one's perspective, and is echoed by the statement by a Jewish commentator that the founding of the Jewish state is the greatest triumph and the worst tragedy of the 20th century. A triumph for the Jewish people, but a tragedy in light of the endless war and destruction it has brought to the region. On the question of the nation state, it was Palestinian director Ilya Suleiman who once said that he was for a Palestinian state until the moment it was founded, and then he would become its harshest critic. On the question, though, of the current policies of the state of Israel, which continues to move further and further to the right, there is no doubt that, as Marx said, ruthless criticism of the existing order is what is needed. This is a colonial apartheid state, and with its left mostly erased, one that brooks no interference. It is also now, perhaps besides the U.S., the most ruthlessly neoliberal capitalist state, which in its digital defense industry supports spyware from companies like Pegasus, which was developed on the backs of the surveillance of Palestinians, and which recently finally admitted to killing a female journalist for Al Jazeera after first blaming the Palestinians. They said it was sorry and then closed the case with no investigation over whether or not this was a targeted assassination. The attempt at Documenta and elsewhere is to silence any criticism of the Israeli state by conflating the three concepts. There were some errors made at Documenta, foremost among them being that there should have been more participation among Jewish progressive collectives and groups critical of the policies of Israel. For example, the Jewish Voices of Peace, which supports the BDS boycott of Israel. BDS, which essentially attempts to organize a ban on all products coming from the settler colonial factories of the occupied West Bank, though it is now outlawed in Germany and in many states in the U.S., continues to gather momentum. The larger thrust of the critique, though, is that this is the West's answer to developing peoples critiquing its institutions. While the Lumbung Documenta was in many ways about education, the scientific panel convened to investigate Documenta was in effect doing a little schooling of its own, that is, teaching this group of collectives that they had better think twice before again launching such a critique. A softer, more restrained, but in ways no less adamant critique of Western practices, though one solidly contained by the parameters of the contemporary art world, was the recently concluded Berlin Biennale. Here, as in Documenta, abstraction was minimized as artists confronted the issues of the day with, in some cases, an obsessive documentary intensity. Moses Mars's map-making highlights the spirit of Bandung, the Asian and African newly independent states conference in 1955 that announced their non-aligned position of independence from the major powers in the Cold War. The work, a maze of arrows, text, and circles, is in its intensity a kind of political art brut, or outside art, an unearthing and charting of colonial cruelty and its resistance with all the painstaking details of Henry Darger's Vivian Girls, but here in a geopolitical rather than a psychosexual context. India's Prabhakar Gamble's ragged feet of agricultural workers with a metal filament, then leading to, in one case, a miniature of a blue cow, points to the fact that that beast is sacred in the country, while poor rural workers form the basis, the foundation, the feet of the economy, but are ground under by this oppressive inequality. Likewise, Birendra Yadav's actual worn sandals spread out below photographs of the almost numb feet of workers in a brick factory, the feet as hard as bricks, recall Van Gogh's peasant's feet in a global linking of oppressed workers. Juan Jacques Lebel's life-size photos of the torture at the Iraqi prison Abu Ghraib, with U.S. soldiers looking on amused, interspersed with photos of the shock and awe annihilation of Baghdad, was even more effectively rendered because it was laid out in a maze where it was difficult in the fog of war to keep from getting lost. Dao Chao Hao's Ballad of the East Sea was a sculpture of undulating waves with sharp blades, waves that could kill as the sea, think of the current U.S. battleships in the South China Sea, becomes increasingly militarized. Finally, Alex Prager's Crowd No. 4, New Haven, was a crowd scene shot from above, where all the individuals in this collective space are exerting every inch of their will to accentuate their own personality through hairstyle, dress, and makeup, and deny the existence of the collective. In the end, in a way that throws that consumer-defined concept into question, they are imprisoned in their own individuality. The Berlin Biennale, a safer art space operating within the more abstract and conceptual framework of the commercial art world, nevertheless also, as did Documenta, pointed to the fact that Western modes of production and conceptualizing are not only homogenizing but also destroying the planet. Documenta's stronger presentation drew fire from outside the art world, though it was strongly supported from within. But both events call attention to a moment of crisis that cannot be resolved by simply shooting the messenger. This is Bro on the Art World Beat, Breaking Glass. Oh, change of mind,
something breaking glass. Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. His current book is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Brough sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes, jazzistiques et artistiques, à notre écoute. Sound of Breaking Glass.